Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. My special guest this evening is Eddie Punch, the General Secretary of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. Many thanks for joining us this evening, and maybe just before we talk about a couple of things, just a little bit about your own background. You're from County Clare and been involved in the ICSA for quite a number of years.
Yeah, that's right. I've been over 15 years with the ICSA now. And I suppose I come from County Clare, so I suppose in common with Donegal, we're on the west coast, but we're a little bit closer to the equator.
Over the years, the ICSA, like other farming organisations, has had a big input into national policy being shaped and lobbying, and you've been involved, I know, in the National Economic and Social Council and Farmers Charters Committee, and the whole farming sector, what happens at the ground and the pressure and applied through really can influence decisions.
Well, I think it can, but let's be honest about it. You're in competition there to try and influence government policy, and obviously in the last number of years we've had a lot of competition for scarce resources, and at the same time, I suppose, a lot of the time you're fighting against regulation that's designed in Europe and is handed down and, I suppose, interpreted by national government. So there's quite a challenge to get the policies in place that you want. And obviously, in recent years, we've had an economic crisis here at national level, but at the same time, we've just seen the conclusion of a CAP reform process, which is, I suppose, certainly made more difficult by the fact that the budget is smaller for the next period of the Common Agricultural Policy than what we've been used to. And certainly, I suppose, there's a lot of things we'd like to have seen done better, but this is the hand we're dealing with at the moment.
As I say, we are where we are. Now, looking at a question that's becoming, an issue that's becoming a huge source of anger and frustration amongst farmers, the whole area of land eligibility, where exactly are we moving at the moment?
Yeah, the Minister announced just recently a new booklet which sets out land eligibility for the basic payment scheme. And it's a 29-page document. Now, certainly this is going to add, I think, to the frustration of farmers in trying to determine, how much land they can safely put in for their new, I suppose, basic payment scheme. We were in the Oireachtas recently where we very much argued that farmers needed to have absolute certainty as to whether the land they had was eligible, and if it was eligible, was it 100% eligible or not? And clearly it is a problem here because this kind of marginal land, and you've got a lot of this in Donegal where you have a mixture of, I suppose, upland, maybe land that has a certain amount of scrub, heather, all the kind of stuff you get on mountainy areas, commonage areas, but also, I suppose, you get it down on heavier wet ground as well where maybe rushes and scrub are a challenge as well, and of course land that has certain amounts of, I suppose, exposed rock. All of that kind of land is very much difficult for farmers who own it. It's difficult to farm, it's difficult to make money off, but now we have the added complication that it can potentially lead you to very serious penalties, and we've seen that with the 2013 LIPUS review as well. And I suppose our basic points are that a farmer should be entitled to know with a degree of certainty and with the availability of the advisors at his disposal, that he is putting in an application for a Pillar 1 payment, the new basic payment scheme, in good faith, and that he shouldn't be subject to potential penalties for getting something wrong because it is subjective and unclear. And unfortunately, that is the position we are in. And the Minister's publication of a 29-page booklet, I think, doesn't resolve the issue in any fair way, because when you look at it, it says things like rushes can or maybe they can't be eligible, depending on how tall the rushes are. It says heather might or might not be eligible. it says that scrub is not eligible, but it also says the farmers are not allowed to touch scrub between the 31st of March and the 1st of September. And as everybody knows, the kind of land where this is a problem, you can be very lucky to get into it in those summer months. So if you're effectively kept out from, you know, basically the 1st of April to the 1st of September, your opportunity of dealing with scrub is potentially in a lot of years non-existent. And that's an intolerable position for farmers. Meanwhile, of course, some farmers have designated land. Some farmers had restrictions imposed on them, you know, at one stage through commonage destocking. All of these are, I suppose, based on EU directives designed to protect the environment. And as we all know, the phrase, I suppose, that pays, if you like, for a single farm payment, and now the new scheme, is that you've got to keep land in good agricultural and environmental condition. The problem is that one is fundamentally opposing the other. If you do what's required to keep it in good agricultural condition, you can sometimes fall foul of, if you like, the police of the National Parks and Wildlife Service if it's designated land. We have new restrictions on land reclamation as well. And in all of these things, farmers are faced with the impossible, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
And can the government here, how much of it is this being EU-driven, or can we do more here at Irish government level to be more clear-cut about it?
Well, to add to the, I think the confusion now at this stage is the fact that the minister's most recent announcement now talks about if there is less than 10% of an area covered by, we'll say, exposed rock or scrub, it can be fully eligible. But it's not actually a land parcel he's talking about here. It's a piece of ground that has been redlined. So if a piece of ground is redlined, you know, the 10% calculation is very much determined by where exactly that red line is drawn. So if the red line is moved out a few metres, it means the piece of ground is that bit bigger, and therefore you might fall under the 10%. If it's moved in tighter, then you might fall above the 10%. This is, you know, really dancing on the, you know, on the head of a pin, if you like. And it's thoroughly unsatisfactory in our view that we have come to a stage where the system has become so complex that you'd need a degree in land management to master it. And indeed, I believe the minister has a degree in land management, but I'm not sure if he's mastered it either, because clearly you have very subjective decisions being made, both through satellite imagery and through on-the-ground inspections. Mm-hmm. And we've seen with the LIPUS review, which was carried out in 2013, you know, one decision given on a percentage eligibility of a piece of ground by the satellite image, another determination made by a Chagas advisor, and then the on-the-ground inspection happens, and you get, you know, a different result again. And that level of subjectivity should not, you know, in any just scenario, be used to penalise farmers. And that's why in ICSA we have launched a campaign to fundraise to try and seek a legal review of what's going on here, because we consider it intolerable that farmers are being penalised, that they are unable, even with the help of advisors at times, to be absolutely certain that they have got it right. And the penalty system is totally draconian. It's designed for people who deliberately defraud the system or try to claim land that they have no right whatsoever to put in. But you have this system whereby if you're over 3% of an overclaim, and that can easily happen with marginal ground under this system, you have a treble penalty. And if you're over 20% of an overclaim, you have a 100% penalty.
Problems down the line then.
Absolutely. And we think this is thoroughly unfair, and we're going to continue to fight it. But that's why we're also looking at a potential legal challenge as well.
My guest this evening, Eddie Punch, General Secretary of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. Looking ahead, Eddie, to schemes that have just come in, or schemes that are going to come in the year, next year or so, light at the end of the tunnel, or do you think some of these schemes can really have a positive effect?
Again, you know, there's certainly a sense that the government has rushed to bring in the schemes, and that's, I suppose, right, you know, that's fair, that's right and appropriate, because it is not fair that farmers have become to depend on what you call these Pillar 2 or rural development schemes should be losing years due to, I suppose, you know, let's say, manoeuvrings at EU level and official level. But certainly when you look at the new GLAS scheme, there's a sense that there is a struggle to get the system to work. There's complaints from planners that the online system isn't working as good as it should. But at least the scheme is open, and hopefully people will benefit from it.
In fairness, when we look back at REPS, the original REPS, and REPS 2 and REPS 3 and the programs that followed that, sometimes, you know, there's always going to be a bit of tinkering around, and it is better to have some scheme.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. But I think people will recognise, though, that GLAS is nowhere like as good a scheme as REPS was in terms of farmers in certainly in the western half of the country who depended very much on it. But at least it is a new scheme coming in, and it potentially can deliver a payment of 5,000, 7,000 to people in some of the more extreme designated areas. But it will be the case, I think, that a lot of those farmers will spend a significant amount of money to draw down this money, so they certainly won't have anything like 5,000 profit out of it. Now, we also have a beef genomic scheme has been announced. The final details are still to be discussed. But the key point here is that it is going to be a six-year contract, and people have to apply for it in May of this year. So there's a very limited window of opportunity to get into the scheme, and essentially it's about taking DNA samples from a suckler herd, so it's part of the suckler herd. The funding is going to be allocated a bit different to the current scheme. It's going to be allocated across hectares, maybe a little bit like the old sheep grassland scheme. So there's a bit of doubt about that. But the key thing, I suppose, at this stage for your listeners is that if you're interested in the scheme, you need to get in May. And it is a six-year contract, which means that if you pull out of sucklers somewhere down the line, you may be subject to a clawback of money paid out. So that has to be borne in mind. The other thing I would say is that right now, of course, the minister has at least got a letter of comfort from Europe, which means the rural development plan has been agreed. We hear that the government is now considering public sector pay increases, and, you know, essentially the age of austerity is over. And that's why we in ICSA believe it is now time to review the cuts that were made to disadvantaged area payments as part of the programme of austerity. And as your listeners will be aware, the maximum area for example, for severely handicapped farmers, less severely handicapped farmers, everybody in Donegal would be severely handicapped or mountain, but the maximum payment was reduced from 45 hectares to 34, and then to 30 in you know, a number of those, I suppose, austerity budgets. And that meant a substantial loss of money out of the disadvantaged area scheme. We in ICSA believe it is now time, in the same way that the public sector unions are arguing that the, you know, public sector pay cuts must be reversed, we are saying if that is the case, and, you know, it's not for us to comment on it, but if it is the case, we're equally entitled to see farm scheme cuts reversed as well. And this can be done, if there is the political will there, if the government is willing to do it, by using a small allocation from the National Exchequer funds.
And finally, Eddie, time is going against us. Just looking at the year ahead, are you fairly upbeat that we are seeing a real pickup in the economy, and it's going to filter through, and also that the agricultural sector will benefit in terms of income in people's pockets?
I suppose ultimately the big question for farmers, really, when it comes to selling products like beef, lamb and so on, is how economies in our key export markets are going. And I think that's still very much an open question when it comes to European markets. We do, however, sell a lot of beef to the UK. Now there's, you know, I suppose some contracts been achieved in the USA. And here, I suppose, exchange rates will be a key determinant of how we do. But unfortunately, the key issue still is that we have a meat industry dominated by three big players who have used their, I suppose, near monopoly power to keep prices lower than what they should be. And I guess, you know, it's very frustrating for farmers to see how beef prices stayed steady at a time when cattle are getting scarce all over the globe. But we would hope the cattle will be scarcer later in the year, and that will help.
Eddie Punch, the General Secretary of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. Just time for some livestock prices. Cattle prices first. Steers making €4.20 a kilo. Heifers €4.30 a kilo. U-grade bulls €4.20 a kilo. And R-grade cows up to €3.90 a kilo. Sheep prices, hoggets up to 23.5 kilos, making €5.50 a kilo. Spring lamb up to 20 kilos, making €6 a kilo. Ewes €3 to €3.10 a kilo. That's just about it for another edition of Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore, a very good evening.